be there with our youth. Here it is. In spite of general affluence in the industrialized nations, the majority of persons in the world live in poverty. In order to provide basic needs such as food, clothing, shelter, education, health care, and other necessities, ways must be found to share more equitably the resources of the world. And I think that's what was happening yesterday, as that large and enthusiastic crowd of people got together and packed 10,050 lunches to be eaten by people who will other meals, to be eaten by people who will otherwise not have a meal. And I was proud of our contribution of our church and our young people there yesterday. Thank you.
Well, before the choir does their anthem, and after my daughter finishes, I invite you to join with me in our prayer for illumination as printed in bold at the bottom of our bulletin. Let us pray together. Holy Spirit, sent by the Father, open your words to us, and ignite in us your holy fire. Strengthen your children with the gift of faith. Revive your church with the breath of love, and renew the face of the earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord.
Hear now this reading from Acts chapter 2.
Και όταν ήλθε η ημέρα της Πεντηκοστής, ήσαν άπαντες ομοθυμάδων εν το αυτό τόπο. Και εξέφνης είχεν ήχον εκ του ουρανού ως ανέμου βεός, βερωμένου και γεμίσαν όλων των οίκων όπου ήσαν καθισμένοι. Και εφάνισαν εις αυτούς διαμεριζόμενοι γλώσσε, ως πυρός και κάθισαν επί ένα έκαστον αυτών και επλήθησαν άπαντες πνευμάτος Αγίου και ήρχισαν να λαλώσει ξένας γλώσσας, καθώς το πνεύμα έδιδεν εις αυτούς να λαλώσει.
En Jerusalén habitaban judíos, hombres piadosos de todas las naciones debajo del cielo. Cuando se produjo este estruendo, se juntó la multitud y estaban confundidos, porque cada uno les oía hablar en su propio idioma. Estaban atónitos y asombrados, decían, «Mirad, ¿no son galileos todos los otros que hablan? ¿Cómo pues oímos nuestros, cada uno en nuestro idioma en que nacimos?» Partos, Medos, Elamitos, habitantes de Mesopotamia, de Judea y de Capadocia, del Ponto y de Asia, de Frigia, de Panfilia, de Egipto y de las regiones de Libia más allá de Cirene, forasteros romanos, tanto judíos como proselitos, cretenses y árabes, les oímos hablar en nuestros propios idiomas los grandes hechos de Dios. Todos estaban atónitos y perplejos. Se decían unos a otros, ¿qué quiere decir esto? Pero otros, burlándose, decían, están llenos de vino nuevo.
Alors Pierre, se présentant avec les onze, éleva la voix et le parla en ces termes. Hommes juifs, et vous tous qui séjournez à Jérusalem, sachez ceci et prêtez l'oreille à mes paroles. Ces gens ne sont pas ivres, comme vous le supposez, car c'est la troisième heure du jour. Mais c'est ici ce qui a été dit par le prophète Joël.
Vayaha rekein, ashafti et ruach hal alkol bashar, vana'avu banechem vachonechem, zaknechem holomot yalmun bachavaretz. Ito hazenot yach, v'gam al ha'arabim, v'al ha'shofto, bayimei hayamei oshtofri et ruachi, v'natati v'mavit ubeshmayam ba'eretz dam, v'ish it yamovrit, ashan, haladam lifne boyom adonai, Hashemesh vachefet lachoshek Adonai hogadol vanut ra vayaha kol asher yikre basham Adonai yaltetet. Amen.
Fear not, all will be made clear. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying one to another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in whose days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every translation is an interpretation. I think that's a very, very accurate truth. Every translation is an interpretation. We have lots of different versions of the Bible. The one in our pews is the New Revised Standard Version. It's my favorite overall. The NIV, the King Jimmy, as I like to refer to it, from way back in 1611. And every translation is an interpretation. And as of the last 30 years or so, there have been a number of paraphrases of the Bible that have come out. Now, the difference between a translation and a paraphrase is, you know, really one of rigidity. A translation takes the word and translates it into English. A paraphrase, however, tries to take the general meaning of that phrase or sentence and make it a little easier to understand. And the easier to read any of your Bibles may be, the more layers of interpretation that have been piled on top of it. So just keep that in mind. There's been a very popular paraphrase called The Message that Eugene Peterson has done, who's a wonderful, wonderful writer and a terribly boring speaker. Oh. Well, anyway, however, I don't mean to sound like one of those people, you know, saying bad things about certain translations of the Bible or paraphrases. Someone asked my Greek professor at Duke what the best translation of the Bible was to read, and he said, "The one that you read." And I think that's probably truer than anything. The one we read is the most important one. However, I have a favorite of some of... There's this guy named Clarence Jordan. Some of you might have heard of him before. He was the founder of Koinonia Farms down in Georgia. And Clarence Jordan was a prominent civil rights activist. Did a lot of work with, particularly with racial justice, way back in the day. And he was a Southern Baptist. And Clarence got his PhD from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary up in Louisville. And anyway, he wrote a paraphrase of Luke and Acts here called the Cotton Patch Version. Anybody ever heard of that? I heard on the radio there's actually a play, I think, down at the Flat Rock Theater going on now with the Cotton Patch Version. Basically, he takes the idea of a paraphrase and really just goes with it. he takes this one, and instead of just, it's the cotton patch version of Luke and Acts, Jesus' doings and the happenings, a modern translation with a southern accent, fervent, earthy, rich in humor. So I'd like to read for you. If you felt a bit confused when the modern Greek, when the French, when the Spanish, or the ancient Hebrew were read earlier, here's for you, okay? Clarence, he takes and he puts the Bible story in a little more modern take. He transplants all of these things from taking place in Jerusalem to taking place in Atlanta. So there you go. And he updates the language a little bit and simplifies things a lot, but I really like it. So without any more saying about it, I'll just read it for you. And forgive me, I'm going to exaggerate my southern accent a bit. I feel like it's only appropriate. When Thanksgiving Day arrived, they were all gathered in one place. Then all of a sudden there came from the sky a rumbling like a tornado, and it filled the whole house where they were gathered. And they saw forked flames as from a fire, and it stayed in contact with each one of them. Everybody was bursting with the Holy Spirit and started talking in whatever different languages the Spirit directed. Now, at that time, there were lots of delegates gathered in Atlanta, religious people from all countries of the world. So when they heard this great noise, they all came running together. And then they heard these folks talking to each one of them in their own native tongue, and they were excited, amazed, and astounded to no end. They said, "Look, aren't all these speakers Americans? Then how is it that each of us is hearing in his own native tongue, French, Spanish, German, Portuguese, Chinese, Russian, Italian, Greek, Turkish, Burmese, Hebrew, Swedish, Afrikaans, Hindi. In our own languages, we're hearing them tell of God's mighty doings." Everybody was dumbfounded and puzzled, saying to one another, "What's the meaning of this?" But others sneered, "They're tanked up on white lightning." That's my favorite. "They're tanked up on white lightning." So Rock, Peter, along with the 11, got right up and started explaining matters to them. "Fellow Georgians and all you delegates in Atlanta, let me set you straight on this right now. These folks aren't tanked up like you think, because it's just 9 o'clock in the morning. Instead, this is the happening described in the book of Joel. When the time is ripe, says God, I'll share my spirit with all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will speak the truth. Your young people will catch visions, and your old people will dream new dreams. Yes, indeed, when the time's right, I'll share my spirit with my boys and my girls, and they will speak the truth. And I'll put terrors in the sky above and nightmares on the earth below, blood and fire and a mushroom cloud. The sun will be turned into blackness and the moon into blood when the glory and the majesty of the Lord's era will be ushered in. And then the man who shares in the Lord's nature will come through. Brother men, give me your attention. Surely you yourselves know about Jesus, the Valdostin. A man whom God backed up with the mighty deeds, marvelous happenings, and solid evidence which he presented right before your eyes. Within the framework of his purpose and knowledge, God let you murder him by stringing him up at the hands of a mob. But then God removed the effects of death and restored him to life. It just wasn't possible for him to be contained by death." Gotta like that. Jesus the Valdostin. No, they're not tanked up on white lightning like you think. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. The great theologian George Burns, you may remember him with the cigar always permanently there in his mouth. He had a wonderful, wonderful quote about sermons. He said, "The secret to a good sermon is to have a nice beginning and a good ending, and for the two to come as close together as possible." In tribute to George Burns, I'll share with you just one illustration today. It's one you may have seen before, but I think it bears mentioning because there's always some of us who could stand to hear it again. I was struck by the phrase here of how all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit To be filled with it means to be full, not to be full of it. That's different, right? But to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that means that there's nothing else in us. That means that there's nothing else that'll fit. That means that we haven't crowded out the Holy Spirit. That means that instead of putting all that stuff in our lives that we put in there, just think about it. We got soccer practice. We got cooking, cleaning, getting the oil changed in the car, mowing the grass, Spanish lessons, piano lessons, all manner of things that we fill, church meetings, did I say that? All manner of things that we put in our lives that crowd it out, that take it up, even good things, you know? But how many of us can really say that we're filled with God and with God's Spirit? There's that illustration of a jar. And this is a wonderful children's sermon. I love to use it. And they take this jar and they'll put some big rocks and then some little pebbles and then some sand. And you say to the kids, you know, can you put all this in there? And of course, if they put the sand in first, there's no room for the big rocks or the pebbles. And you have to put the big rocks in first, and then the little pebbles can kind of go around, and then the sand can trickle down. And the whole point of that is to put the big things first, right? Well, I say that most of the time, and I speak personally here as well, most of the time, we don't even put the big things in, do we? We don't have any room left for the big things after we've been doing and doing and doing. How many of us actually take the time to empty ourselves so that we can be filled with God's Spirit? How many of us even make time for God? What's the best Bible translation? The one you read, right? How many of us take time to read? How many of us take time to pray? How many of us leave room for God? I'm glad that we have this word from God. I'm glad that God's Spirit can fill us. And I'm glad that here in the South we got free refills too, right? Amen. I invite you to stand for our hymn. It's number 334, Sweet, Sweet Spirit. Let's stand as we offer our praise. As we enter into a time of prayer, I invite you to remember all of those names listed in our bulletin, particularly if you would also add Beth Petroni, who has pancreatic cancer. If you would also add Alma Wallace, Brian's mom, who's not doing well. Are there others you would lift up this day? family of Carol and how's it? Sorry. Others? Loretta, Joan's sister. Well, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we lift up to you this day all of those who are in need. For those who are hungry, for those who hurt, for those who are sick. O Lord, we lift them up to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of your Spirit. Help us that we might make room, that we might be filled by you and inspired to your service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those unspoken concerns, O Lord, and for the deepest groanings of our hearts that often cannot even be put into words, hear us now, most gracious Heavenly Father, as we lift up to you in silence those concerns. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as Christ our Lord taught us, so now we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, from all that God has so richly blessed us with, let us offer our gifts to him.
us pray. Good and gracious Lord, for these and all the blessings of this life, we give you our thanks and praise. Accept these, our gifts, most gracious Father, that they might go to help others. For we offer them and our very lives in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. And I invite you to remain standing for our last hymn. It's reprinted in the bulletin. It's called Where Could I Go? And there's some large print sheets around as well if it's too tiny.
Amen. Go now in peace to love and serve the Lord, and remember you're invited for refreshments downstairs afterwards.